We were two, but now we're three, and we are joined by Dr. K. Ish.
A whole doctor, baby.
I'm feeling
Dr. K.
Mabaso.
Yep.
How are you doing, Doc?
Good afternoon, ladies, and your wonderful listeners. Thank you for having me. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
We are super excited. We're always
glad
looking
to have you.
You know, we're always looking forward to Fridays, quarter past until quarter two, because we know we're going to be speaking all things neurodevelopmental stuff. Literally,
neurodiversity.
So it's either we speak neurodiversity, the center, neurodevelopmental disorders, all of that, and we just love learning, basically, right?
Yeah.
And today we have you, and we're gonna be talking intellectual disabilities. Prof Dumi last week Friday kind of introduced us to it, but she did promise us that I'm gonna bring in someone. Oh, ngongosha. I'm not sure if that's correct. I'm not sure that's the correct way of saying it, but ikuru. Also, Nchela, everything.
Tell us,
you know, like, what I mean?
Yeah,
let's start with this. Please define for us intellectual disability. What is that? What does it mean?
Intellectual disability.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me once again, ladies. So with the previous two sessions that you've had with Uprof Diale, she spoke about neurodevelopmental disorders, which is an umbrella term to refer to all these other things that we're going to be talking about in the series to come.
Mm.
So intellectual disabilities is just one of the things that fall under this umbrella called neurodiversity, right? Neurodevelopmental disorders.
Yeah. I think we spoke about autism, we spoke about ADHD, we spoke about all of these disabilities that are there, right?
Yeah.
But maybe let's kind of, how does one identify intellectual disabilities? How do we identify it? Because we did say this is how you identify ADHD, this is how you see someone that has autism.
Yeah.
How do we identify this one?
Yeah. Okay, well, I won't preempt what my colleagues are going to be saying in the series to come, but I just want us today to use our everyday language and demystify neurodiversity, okay? And for us to be able to do that, I usually say to people that we need to take it down to the basics and delve into the holistic nature of childhood development. Right. So for one person to actually be able to say with conviction that my child is typically growing or growing the way they should, I need as a parent to be able to tick, you know, a couple of boxes.
Sure.
You need to be able to say that my child has ticked the physical box, my child has ticked the emotional box, my child has ticked the social box, and my child has ticked the cognitive box. And we refer to those as the domains of functioning. Okay, so there are a couple of other boxes, but for today, we're just going to focus on the cognitive domain of functioning.
Sure.
So once we mention cognitive, we are talking all things brain. It's brain related, because for you to be able to say that I've developed cognitively, it means that now your mental abilities are now intact.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
And one interesting fact about that is that brain development actually starts from conception and it carries on like that. But now, the one interesting reality, I think it's a global thing as well. Mom only discovers that they might actually be pregnant when it's already 4 months into pregnancy.
Really?
Which is really sad. Yeah?
Sure.
Because ideally, you need mom to prepare for conception. You need them to eat all the right things. You need them to be just fit to conceive this baby, because the brain wiring happens from the first trimester, which is the first 3 months of pregnancy. So now when mom only discovers 4 months into pregnancy, it means that the wiring is already faulty.
Yeah, sure.
For lack of a better word, it's faulty, because instead of it now going straight to reach where it's supposed to reach, you know, it goes this way, takes a short left, a short right, takes a 10, comes back down, it's already faulty. And that already predisposes a child into having one of the neurodevelopmental disorders. Yeah. But today we are talking about intellectual disabilities.
Hey, my daughter.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I did not.
That's how Mamudlama take away. You don't even know that you're pregnant.
Exactly. And I'm glad you're mentioning Ama takeaways, because every time we talk about consuming intoxicating stuff, people always link it to, you know, maybe drugs, alcohol, and things like that. Sometimes it's medication, you know. You know, when you look at your medication, you know, sometimes it just says, you know, please do not take if you're pregnant. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So your lifestyle determines or predisposes your child to having these neurodevelopmental disorders.
That is so sad. That's actually so sad.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you're mentioning this, because nowadays we're the generation, we're always on social media. There's like Instagram and TikTok, and we're constantly seeing information about these disabilities. I want to know who can actually diagnose us when it comes to these disabilities, because people like to self-diagnose that, oh, I've got these symptoms, I must be autistic or I must be ADHD. Who's the right person to diagnose us?
So, in addition to Dr. Google, I'm joking. We shouldn't be using because Dr. Google will
online.
Dr. Google will actually tell you that you're dying the next day.
Literally.
So, in terms of the diagnosis, okay. Now, I just mentioned that depending on what happens with the wiring, there are many other factors that happen to an individual, even post-pregnancy, even after the baby is born, for them to be diagnosed with an intellectual disability, right? Mm. And in terms of the diagnosis, a clinical psychologist can diagnose, an educational psychologist can diagnose, an occupational therapist can diagnose, as well as a speech therapist. They can diagnose, because the intellectual disabilities, they fall along the spectrum. You know, there's mild, there's moderate, there's severe, and there's profound.
Mm.
And with the mild intellectual disabilities, those who fall within the mild spectrum, it's hard for someone to tell that, you know what, there's issues there until they start with the formal schooling, and they're expected to now stretch their mental abilities to write, to do abstract thinking and all of those things. So those can only be diagnosed once they start formal schooling. But with the ones that are falling more towards the profound end of the spectrum, it's very easy for you to just tell, because at the age of two, you're expecting them to learn how to walk by then.
Yeah.
You discover that maybe they're still struggling. They can't sit as yet. They can't crawl as yet. So you already know that, you know what, there's delays there, because my child is not typically growing, meaning they are not growing the way they should. I hope I'm making sense.
You're definitely making sense. I remember Dr. Tumi speaking about, or Prof Tumi rather, speaking about how that it's very, very important to keep check of your child.
Yeah.
Actually, not just when they're born, during when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
The things that you eat, journaling everything and all of that, because it really does help. Even as you go and consult with your doctors, with your psychologists, they're going to ask you those questions. What were you eating back when you were pregnant and all of that good stuff? So definitely does make sense. As Dr. that came up us in studio, we are kind of giving you an overview, not even kind of, we're definitely giving you an overview of one of the neurodevelopmental disorders, that is intellectual disabilities. Hit me up and tell me what you think about that one. 0817255228. We are about to wrap it up, but we are still chilling with Dr. K Mabaso, and we're giving you some young overviews of intellectual disabilities, just for you to understand, since we started with Prof Dumi and we're speaking about neurodevelopmental disorders. At least last week, that's what we're talking about. Right now, Doc, I just want to know, what are the causes of intellectual disabilities? Because it's one thing to speak about something, right? A disability, and kind of remove the stigma from it and educate people. But what actually causes this disability?
Okay, thank you so much for your question. So I think I am able to take you through five of the main causes of intellectual disabilities, which also speaks to the neurodevelopmental disorders in general. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them are genetic. Like we've already touched on that to say as soon as mom conceives, then the brain is forming, the brain is developing. But if mom is not consuming all of the right things mm-hmm. to ensure that baby gets the best brain architect ever, the baby is already now predisposed to having intellectual disabilities. So the first one is genes that we cannot do anything about.
Literally.
Which is why when you bring your baby to a psychologist, we want to find out, you know, how far did dad go in terms of his schooling? How far did mommy go in terms of her schooling?
Wow.
Because it's in the genes. You know, mom, dad come together, it's genetic.
Sure.
Okay. Another one is complications through or during pregnancy, right? We've spoken about the consumption. We've spoken about how what we consume might just lead to babies then having a weaker brain architect. Okay. Another one is when, let's say during birth now. Okay. I'm sure you've heard about someone who was supposed to have a normal delivery.
Suddenly
they have to be rushed in for an emergency C-section.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
During that period or that process, the baby is already ready to come out and to be in the world, but now they have to wait until the C-section procedure is completed. And now when that happens, the brain is then deprived of the oxygen that they should have been getting at the time. So it's complications during delivery.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Another one is environmental factors. So baby is now born, but now they come into this family that has not enough in terms of their food. So baby has malnutrition now, which means now the brain is not being fed the way it should. You know, maybe mom can't even breastfeed because mom herself doesn't even have food to eat.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Some babies are just being abandoned. They're left with grain and mom is not even there to breastfeed until the baby's at least about 2 years. So already the brain is not receiving the nutrients that it's supposed to receive at that age, at that stage of development. Okay. And another one is illnesses, for example. So I've had many, many cases where baby is born, they learn how to sit, they learn how to crawl, they learn how to walk, but now they contract an illness.
Yeah.
You know, for example, it's TB, can be meningitis or whatever the case is. They get admitted, and upon being discharged, baby has regressed. Baby cannot walk anymore.
Sure.
Baby cannot crawl anymore. So those are some of the things that do tend to lead to babies having intellectual disabilities. But then again, it's important for us to know that we cannot diagnose. You need to take the baby into the relevant professionals that are mentioned earlier on so that you can actually have facts in terms of where the baby is along the spectrum of intellectual disability.
Now I see some of the causes can definitely be prevented, like, you know, finding the right partner or checking them, right? So it's like it's Bonso, it's Mangaliso, and we both looking for partners. I'm like, you know, I want an accountant. Manga says, I want a doctor. There's a reason why we want that, right? So you can actually do that in order for your baby to have those kind of genes, right? You can also take care of yourself during pregnancy and making sure that you exercise, you drink a lot of water, you do everything, you go for doctor's checkup and all that good stuff. But the rest of them, can they be prevented? Are they preventable?
The rest of them you can't, because these are usually freak accidents.
Exactly.
I mean, like a traumatic brain injury, for example. You're traveling with this baby that is, I don't know, has a two learned parents, for example, right? And you're traveling with baby and then you get into a freaky car accident. And then there's a traumatic brain injury. So what happens? Yes, you did your part in terms of choosing the right father for your baby. But, I mean, life happens.
Life does happen.
Then what then? Okay. So what's important at the end of the day is just being in partnership with the relevant professionals to say, okay, now I'm here. Here is where I am as a parent with my baby. How do I receive help going forward? Mm. And perhaps that now takes us back to the neurodiversity center that Prof. Dumi spoke to you about in the previous two series. Mm. The relevant professionals can then help with placing the child at the school that's going to be attending to their needs, where the could be given accommodations and all of those things depending on what their needs are for them to grow and learn.
And how else can a parent support their child, like besides sending them to the relevant schools and all of that, if they have an intellectual disability?
I think it's partnering with the educators, because what we are seeing more and more in practice is that parents don't even know what intellectual disabilities are. And if you do not know what you are dealing with, then chances are you wouldn't even know how to support. Knowledge is power, which is why we are having this series. We are really, really trying to demystify this information that we read from our big, big books. We want it to come down to the community level. We want the community to understand that here is the situation, here are the realities, and how can we then support? So knowledge is power at the end of the day. And if you don't partner with the relevant professionals, you will forever be left in the dark, and chances are your child will not receive the necessary support.
Your child will be stigmatized. Your child will be called names, ekasi, because you're not choosing to educate yourself as a parent, or as teachers at least, you know what I mean? Yo, I'm so sad that we've come to the end of this interview, because we're absolutely learning in the most amazing way ever, looking at a very beautiful face. Doctor, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr. K, for coming through, man. There's a whole lot that we're going to be learning, and we just touched base today with intellectual disabilities, and we definitely understand what intellectual disabilities are today. So thanks to you, Doctor. That's just one category of neurodevelopmental disorder. We're going to be getting into this every Friday, 1:15 to 1:15. So you do want to make sure that you save that on your calendars everywhere. Write it down in your diaries, because that's what we're doing. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence today, Doctor.
Thank you so much for hosting me, Liz.
Have a lovely, lovely, lovely weekend.
Likewise.
We hope to see you very soon.
Yeah, I hope so too. Thank you so much.